This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Controlled opposition, failure theater. We're going to talk about that tonight. We'll go across the pond, see what things are like in the UK. Dr. J with the CDC, all that. Senator Tommy Tuberville and more coming up on I'm Right. Let's chat. Now, we'll talk about Democrats first. We'll focus on them, although that's not where I'm actually going with this. We're going to get to the GOP and failure theater. But first, we understand what the communists, what the Democrats want. It's very obvious to anybody who's paying attention. The notion that they're just well-meaning, just a little misguided. Surely we've put such childish notions aside. Right now, the communists in the United States of America are painfully aware of something I hope you have accepted. The mass importation of foreigners guarantees they will get power and hold power forever in this country. The mass importation of foreigners guarantees that. If we mass deport foreigners, the Democrat Party completely ceases to exist. And I'm not making that a stretch. Please understand that. I don't mean Democrats are going to become the 40-60 party. Democrats are a 20% party in this country if we deport foreigners. And you may deny that, but Democrats know it full well. Why do you think they fight so hard to bring them here, keep them here? And why would they fight so hard against having to show ID, American citizenship, to vote? It's such a simple concept. Oh, 80% of Americans support it. Well, Democrats know those numbers, so why would they take the 20% side of an 80% issue? Because if they relent on this issue, if they relent, they're done. Their very existence is at stake. Here's what they've been saying.
Underneath the surface, the SAVE Act is a voter purge bill. Most of its core elements don't even talk about voter ID.
The SAVE Act is a massive voter suppression bill that would make it very difficult for millions of Americans, especially women who have changed their name on their birth certificate no longer matches the name on their real ID or driver's license. It would cause chaos to voting and really shrink the voting rolls 5 or 10%.
His bill would make it more difficult for people who generally are not inclined to vote for him to vote. It would make it harder to get, they have to show identification, and some of that identification is passports or birth certificates that are hard to come up with, and most difficult for people who are less likely to vote for Trump.
This bill is about stopping groups from voting who tend to vote for Democrats. This is, again, about rigging the next election.
Republicans will make it harder for you to vote. Because if this bill passes, you will need to show a photo ID and proof of citizenship in every single state. But a student ID won't count.
I call it Jim Crow 2.0, and it is that. It makes it more difficult. The thing that most Americans should be able to do.
Only American citizens can vote in American elections. We're not, nobody's trying to change that.
Non-citizen voting in federal elections is already illegal. It is a federal crime. If a non-citizen illegally votes in a federal election, they could be prosecuted and even sentenced up to 5 years in prison. Who is going to commit this kind of fraud knowing that they could be in prison for 5 years?
They're obvious. They come out and say it. They've imported so many foreigners now, especially in these blue districts. They feel comfortable saying things on television that no politician in America in history, Republican or Democrat, would ever say. I mean, think how bonkers it is that Chris Murphy can go on television and say this and he doesn't have any fear.
It has failed to deliver for the people we care about most, the undocumented Americans that are in this country.
Okay, we got it. Democrats are communists, they're demonic, they're evil, they're trying to burn down the country. We got it. All right. Now, you know, the other night, I was out of town with my wife. Out of town. We were an hour away, but my kid had a track meet, and we were on the way to the track meet. We were hungry. Now, I wanted In-N-Out Burger. I'm telling you right now, I wanted In-N-Out Burger. That was my agenda. I knew there was an In-N-Out Burger coming up, and that's what I wanted. And I knew Ob, the health freak, I knew she wasn't going to go for In-N-Out Burger. And it's going to a salad or something. I knew what I was going to get. But I also knew something else. Years ago, Ob had a bad experience at Applebee's. We don't have to get into the details. I like Applebee's. She had a bad experience. One of those experiences where she said, I'll never eat there again. Okay. So we're driving towards the track meet. And I said, I'm hungry. And she said, I'm hungry too. And I said, well, we got two choices in this area. She said, what are they? I said, we got Applebee's or we got In-N-Out Burger. And she said, oh, God, well, I can't eat at Applebee's. Let's go to In-N-Out Burger. You see, what I did was wrong, deceitful. What I did was I gave her the illusion of choice. There was no choice. I knew there was no choice. The Republican Party in many ways exists to give you, the voter, me, the voter, the illusion of choice. We know Democrats are demonic, communists, and evil. We know they're trying to bring the country down. And so we want opposition. We want someone to stop the demons from burning the country down. I'm going to introduce you to three Republicans, and I want you to keep something in mind. All three of these Republicans are from red states. I could get elected in any one of these states if I ran for Senate and actually earned the Republican nomination. These states could elect anybody. This is who they send to the Senate.
I'm the only candidate advocating a comprehensive approach that includes a long, hard, earned pathway to citizenship. There's some people saying we need to limit legal immigration. To me, they're just looking at a different world than I am. We'll be down to two workers for every retiree in the next 20 years. We're going to need more legal immigration.
Do you think that whatever you're working on will have to include a path to citizenship for Dreamers?
I do. I've been pretty outspoken on that. Even last September, Senator Tillis and I both put out a proposal to get citizenship for those individuals that are in the DACA program or were eligible for the DACA program.
DACA recipients must have a permanent legislative solution. They deserve nothing less. We need to take action and pass legislation that will unequivocally allow these young men and women to stay in the only home, in the only country they've known. In the past, I've supported a number of bills that would have allowed these individuals to remain in the United States without fear of a court decision hanging in the balance. But each time, partisan disagreements have prevented us from turning anything into law. Madam President, when it comes to immigration laws, Congress, on a bipartisan basis, never fails to fail.
Do we need then to anyone who's here illegally that hasn't committed a crime, Senator Curtis, should there be a path to citizenship? Is that what compassion means to you? Or should these people not be allowed to stay?
Well, then let me ask you a question. Is there any law, any rule broken in our country where we don't have a consequence defined? So why don't we have a consequence defined when it comes to coming into this country without documentation? We continue to allow these people to be here, but we haven't defined what their consequence is.
So that's an inaction from policymakers?
Absolutely.
All right. So what would you say we need to do then? What's your answer to that? I guess is
like
it amnesty
every other...
for?
So first of all, you have to define amnesty. But any other crime that's committed here in our country,
is?
We define what the punishment is. And we've failed to do that in this case.
I misspoke. I said three Republicans. That's four. South Carolina, Oklahoma, Texas, Utah. Blood red states. Those are the senators they send. And those senators get to Washington, D.C., not to fight for you or me, not to fight against the demonic communists. They go there to control you, to control me. They go there to present you and me with the illusion of choice. And so, I'm sorry, I'm not even going to play the John Thune soundbite about the SAVE Act and reconciliation, or we might do this, or we might do... I'm tired of failure theater because I understand the game now. I'm sure you understand the game now as well. I'm tired of the illusion of choice. I would like a real choice from now on. Well, that may have made you uncomfortable, but I am right. We have Coach Tommy Tuberville coming up. Oh, look, I'm going to ask him point blank. SAVE Act, reconciliation. Is it going to pass? They even want it to pass? Before I ask him, let me ask you, you ever have stomach problems? It's out there. It happens. It's our diets. It's everything. It's stress. It happens. What are you doing about your gut problems? I used to get heartburn at night. Especially 2 years ago, I would say. Really started to hit me. Especially I eat spicy foods. Pizza did it to me. Isn't that weird? Pizza isn't even spicy. I started pouring cowboy colostrum, two scoops of it, in my coffee every morning. I have chocolate coffee now. It's delicious. I've not had heartburn one time. Not one time since I started. Try it. You won't regret it. Go to cowboycolostrum.com. Use the code JESSETV. They have vanilla, strawberry. I mean, put it in milk. Do whatever you want. What a difference in my life. We'll be back.
Everywhere ICE goes, trouble follows. We've seen that. And it is highly likely the airports will be no exception. No one trusts that ICE is going to make things better.
Once again, ICE agents have arrived here in Philadelphia, but I do want to point out, this is an empty line right now. We are standing in the middle where travelers come to check in for TSA. Yesterday, this was all the way back to the garage. So good news today, lines aren't too bad. We're live from PHL. Brianna Gallagher, Channel 6, Action News.
Chuck Schumer is such a sleazebag. Joining me now, the great senator from the state of Alabama, going to be governor soon. Coach Tommy Tuberville. Coach, how do you work with that dirtball every day? It's got to be skin crawling.
Are you talking about Comrade Schumer? Yeah, he's an amazing person. You know, he's been up here forever. There's no telling how much money he skimmed off the top from New York, and they're still in bad shape. They still end up 30, 40 billion in debt every year or so, which who has to pay them off? The American taxpayers all over the country. That's what happened with the CARES Act, Jesse. Back when I first got here, right after during COVID, they came out with this $2 trillion CARES Act. And where did money go? It went to every blue state to pay off all their debt. And that's the reason they have to have a Democratic president to win in a year and a half, because they're blowing money again. They're throwing it out the window. They're giving it to illegals. They're doing everything they possibly can to spend money. Because that's what they are. They're Democrats, and they're going to make the American people pay it off. But if we can get a Republican president, we will bankrupt these idiots and put them in their place.
Coach, we have a Republican president now. How are we doing on that front?
I think we're doing good. You know, he's into everything, obviously, and you're in my lifetime, and I don't know where you stand on this, but I'm on the Armed Services Committee, and I've seen since the last 3 or 4 years all the data that comes out of the Middle East, and my God, you know, I'm surprised we hadn't had more people killed all over the world because of terrorism, and it's all funded out of Iran. And if we can stop, if we can just stop that and make sure they don't get a weapon of mass destruction, he will have accomplished his job. Everybody's screaming about gas prices and, you know, fertilizer and all that, and I know that they're going to be a little bit higher, but here's the deal. The entire time Joe Biden was in office, and most of the time Barack Obama was in office, oil was above $100 a barrel. And so President Trump is around $90 a barrel, and people are screaming. But that's all about the mainstream media. We need to be educated on what's going on here. They're holding President Trump accountable when they are never accountable. And again, you asked about President Trump. I traveled with him a few days ago. He's in good spirits. He got a lot on his shoulders. But I tell you, I think he's making tremendous progress. Other than NATO, you know, we got a bunch of weasels over there that they like to leech off of us. But we ask them to do something, they run for the hills. And I'm tired of that. And I'm ready to kick them to the curb, to be honest with you.
Are we ready to kick them as a curb as a nation? Because you bring up an excellent point. No matter what people feel about the whole thing, when NATO came crying to us about Russia, Ukraine, the American taxpayer had to fork over all kinds of cash. Now America asks and NATO says, can't, I'm too busy eating croissants. But this can't continue. We have to punish them for this. What's the plan?
Well, the plan is to start with UN, and then you go into each one of them. And of course, they've all agreed with President Trump last year, oh, we'll put 5% of our GDP into the military. They're not going to do that. They're stalling for time. Most of them don't have the money to begin with. They're dead broke. Compare them to the blue states in this country, which, by the way, are all broke. The same way with Germany, Italy, France, UK. They don't have anything. You know, they used to be manufacturing. Germany used to be the manufacturing country in the world, and they can't make a puzzle now. I mean, it is just amazing how they've ruined it because of this climate nonsense and because of mass immigration, where all their money's going out the door to pay for all these illegals, these immigrants coming in, and they're paying them not to work. It's all about politics. It's not about policy, and it's just unfortunate. Our used to be neighbors and good allies, they couldn't rub 2 cents together right now and try to come up with a nickel.
Well, in hindsight, maybe it's best that Germany isn't the manufacturing hub anymore. That didn't work out too well for the whole entire planet a couple times. But be that as it may, we don't have to open that can of worms. The SAVE Act. We're now being told reconciliation, this and that. Coach, I've got about as much faith in all this passing as I do single-ply toilet paper. Correct me if I'm wrong. Are we going to get the SAVE Act?
Not the way we're going at it right now. There's the only way to do this.
That's what I thought.
Is the bust the filibuster. And I'm not talking about talking filibuster. I'm talking about, okay, enough's enough. This country is going to hell in a handbasket. And we're tired of the Democrats. Their whole premise here is to just run the clock out on President Trump and all of us, make the American people think it's our fault, and then take back over and just open the borders, spend money, just absolutely run our country into the ground. We can't allow that to happen. We have to bust the filibuster. We have to vote and say 51 is the vote. They're going to do it when they get elected. Everybody said, well, they won't do that. Hey, I've been up here 6 years. These people, they will do it as soon as they can do it, because they want to run this country so far in the ground and also remain in power, because that's how they're going to remain in power. They're going to do things that we can't control, we can't fix, and it's going to be over as the country that we know it. We'll still be the United States of America, but we'll be the United States of America light, because we were headed in that direction with Biden. If Kamala Harris would have got in there, it would have been a disaster for this country.
Coach, how bad was Arctic Frost?
It was terrible. We're finding out more and more. You know, there was 10 senators. I was one of them. What they did is, if you were a friend of Donald Trump and they thought that they might be able to get some kind of information from you to President Trump, it was worth them breaking the law. And that Boasberg, that clown judge from, I think he's from New York, he's the one that released all the subpoenas on all of our records to either Verizon or AT&T or whoever you were using, and they got all your phone records. And then we found out that was people in the House. Then we found out it's Susie Wiles and Cash Patel. It was just rampant breaking the law, and it's just unfortunate. They're still doing the investigation. There will be lawsuits coming up. We will not be suing the federal government, but we'll probably be going after, the telephone companies, just to make sure that they understand you can't do this. You can't just hand over public records. You can remember a few years ago, Apple had some kind of information on one of the phone about some kind of murder or something. If you remember that, and Apple just stood their ground and says, not no, but hell no. You know, we're not giving out public information. Well, now, look what AT&T and Verizon did. They just opened up the book, says, hey, go at it. You know, we don't like President Trump either, so get what you want, and hopefully you can stay in power and protect us. But guess what? Donald Trump won. We got a new DOJ in there, and they're fixing to find out that you can't do that. You can't do it without paying the consequences.
Go get him, Coach. Appreciate you, sir. All right. We got a new sheriff at the NIH, at the CDC. It's Dr. Jay Bhattacharya. He's a friend of the show. I'm happy he's there. And I'm going to ask him, trust is lost. What's going on? How are we going to earn that trust back before we talk to Dr. Jay? After trust was lost in so much of the medical community in this country. I mean, I lost it big time. If you were watching I'm Right back then, we talked about it all the time. I started looking for other things. I started looking for, well, how do I avoid the doctor? Probably what we should always be looking for anyway, but how do I avoid the doctor? And then I discovered a wonderful company of anti-communists known as Chalk. What do? They do natural herbal supplements. Whatever is going on with you in your life, men, women, young, old, Chalk has natural herbal supplements that will make your life better. If you're a dude, how much better would your life be with a 20% increase in testosterone in 90 days? 20%, 90 days. Go get a Chalk subscription. You're about to be full of pep and energy, and you're going to feel like $1 million. Chalk.com/JesseTV. We'll be back. You know what blesses me? I know there are so many things to complain about, and so many of those things are valid. I'm not saying they're not, but that so many of the evils of the COVID era, they are in small ways, not in every way, but in small ways being righted. And one of those ways is this. The people who were attacked, had their careers, had their lives attacked during COVID for being right. They were almost always the ones who were right. They're now the ones holding the power. They're now the ones who are trying to make things right, and that blesses me. One of those people who stands out maybe the most is Dr. Jay Bhattacharya, NIH director and acting CDC director. So, Dr. Jay, how many titles do you have on your business card at this point in time?
It's a little crazy. I'm trying, logging a lot of miles to Atlanta these days, Jesse. It's nice to be with you.
Okay. No, it's great to... In fact, I want to focus on that. I want to focus on something nerdy. What do you do now? Like, okay, you're in Atlanta. Why are you in Atlanta? More people are watching. Why are you not in Washington, D.C.? What are your roles? What do you do?
Yeah, so the NIH, what we do is we fund science. That's what we're supposed to do, fund science that improves people's health. And that mostly takes place in Bethesda, Maryland, but it also takes place all across the country. Fund all the scientists around the country who work on geeky scientific projects. It got really political during the pandemic, but we're turning it around from that and focusing on what we're supposed to be focused on, which is science that improves people's health. That's in Bethesda, Maryland, near DC. And then the other job I have now is acting director of the Center for Disease Control, which is in Atlanta. And what it's supposed to do, and actually, you know, it has done a really great job over the many, many years, boots on the ground for public health. Like when there's a disease outbreak, when you want a tobacco cessation program, you know, like helping people quit smoking or whatever. That's what the CDC is supposed to do, and it's had a long, great track record. A lot of public trust, as you said, got broken during the pandemic. I view my job primarily is to help these organizations rebuild the trust, because they are great organizations. They have a long track record of success in their respective spheres. And I want them both to get back to that. And, you know, it's been really fun to watch just in the last year, a lot of people in both organizations embrace this idea that we can do better and will do better and embrace the idea of making America healthy again.
Okay, how does one go about that, earning back that trust? Because you're right, we have to have it. The trust has to be there. The trust was violated by these organizations. Now you have to come in with the mop and the cleaning supplies and try to clean up the mess someone else left for you. Where do you begin?
Well, I think first let's say what the end game is, right? So the way that the organizations and public health and science regains trust is by actually delivering on this promise of making America healthy. If we can find cures for diseases like sickle cell anemia, which the NIH actually has, if we can get treatments for cystic fibrosis, if we can make the lives of kids with autism better or prevent autism, if we can address the problems of Alzheimer's disease, if we can actually deliver on all of these promises that science can do, that will rebuild trust. And in, and for public health, if we can, instead of being seen as like, and I think this was part of the danger during the pandemic, is it's sort of seen as like, okay, they get to tell you whether to wear a mask or like tell you whether you must or must not take a vaccine. Instead, just become partners. Good, you give good advice to you about like, what does the scientific evidence say? It doesn't say when it reflect, when there's a scientific controversy, to reflect that controversy in our messaging, say, well, we're not sure. Being able to be humble partners of the American people in public health in ways that and empowers people to make their health better. If we actually achieve that for the American people, that's how we achieve trust.
What's Missouri versus Biden?
Okay, that is a case that I was involved with in 2023. The was it 2022 maybe? The state of Missouri reached out to me because what they had seen, and I personally had seen it as well, is that a lot of social media would suppress different views about how to manage the pandemic, right? So I was a very big advocate for the idea of focus protection, the Great Barrington Declaration, something I wrote, co-wrote, where the idea was you protect older people better and you don't close schools, you don't do lockdowns, you let people allow them to have regular lives that are low risk while protecting older people better. And I noticed online that it was actually quite difficult. I put messages up on Twitter. I joined Twitter for the first time in 2021. It was very, very evident. Those messages were being suppressed. It was also evident to me from looking around for my friends who were fellow dissidents that they could not get their message out. There were people with vaccine injured patients on Facebook who were just talking to each other, vaccine injuries around COVID vaccine, that got their private message groups completely knocked offline. And the question is why? What's purpose is, why would Facebook have any interest in doing that? The Missouri versus Biden case was a case brought by the Missouri Attorney General, then joined by the Louisiana Attorney General, essentially arguing that the Biden administration had orchestrated essentially a widespread program to suppress free speech online. They would go that, and people like from the White in the White House, the CDC, even unfortunately, the NIH to some degree, the Surgeon General's office, and also the State Department would go to social media companies and essentially tell them, if you don't take these people offline, if you don't censor these people or these ideas anyways, then we're going to go after your company. That court case went to a circuit court that circuit court essentially what they found was that this was like an Al Capone scheme, Jesse, where the Al Capone would go to some Chicago business, say that's a nice business you got there, it'd be terrible if something happened to it. That's the role the government played when they would go and tell social media companies, you got to censor these people or censor these ideas. Went all the way to Supreme Court. And the Supreme Court, we got an injunction saying the government's not allowed to do this. The Supreme Court then lifted that injunction in a decision that will shock me to my dying days, essentially saying that I and other people who had been censored did not have standing to sue, that we were not allowed to, that in fact, the state, that the government could in fact go to these companies, tell them, as long as they told them to suppress ideas and not named particular people, then the government could get away with it. That's the upshot of what the government. And I was despondent, Jesse. That was like in 2024. The American First Amendment essentially was dead, because then if that's true, then what the government can do is go to any social media company it wants, say suppress these ideas, and as long as it doesn't name any particular people, well, then it's fine. It's fine. It doesn't violate the First Amendment. That's the Missouri versus Biden case. Really good news came out of it yesterday, though, which I suspect you're going to tell people about. There you go. Okay, it's online. It's on the screen. Actually, one funny thing. When I became NIH director, I had to withdraw from the case and switch sides. I went from a plaintiff in the case arguing that so actually for like 3 minutes I was on both sides of the case because, and so now what's happened is that the court has reached essentially a historic consent decree, where now the government agrees, CDC, the State Department has agreed that it will not, for 10 years, it will not do this. And if it does this, it's going to be subject to like severe repercussions by the court, including the people that do this, that suppress and act in ways to threaten social media companies for the purpose of censorship. It's a historic consent decree, in my view. It's a loss for me now that I'm on the other side, but I've never been so happy to lose in my life, Jesse, I got to tell you.
Congratulations on that loss, Dr. J. All right, I have to ask about, and I know there are going to be limits on what you can and can't say, I get that, but about the COVID origins, because it does actually matter. Did we pay for it? Did it come from a lab? Was it a bowl of bat soup? There were just so many lies. Nobody could keep anything straight. And the Americans who've had their lives upended and in many cases ruined deserve to have the truth about this whole affair. What is the truth?
Well, I'll tell you, so on the one hand, there is still controversy among some. The biological evidence by itself shows toward a lab leak, and others say, oh, no, that's not true, that there might be natural origin, that it came out of, you know, a bat, like a bat, and it was a natural origin. But if you look beyond just the scientific debate, I personally, on the scientific side, I tend toward it came from a lab, that there was a lab accident, there was lab experiments that led to this. But if you look beyond just simply the scientific fight and look at some of the forensic evidence, there was a proposal put out in 2018 by a group called EcoHealth Alliance that proposed work that very much looked like something that could lead to the creation of a virus like COVID. And they were working with the Chinese in Wuhan. It's not an accident, I think, that the virus came out in the very city in China, in the world, that is the world's leading place on coronaviruses, or coronaviruses, like exactly the kind of virus that COVID is. So I think, to me, it's if you take all the totality of evidence, it's beyond a shadow of a doubt that this was a lab leak, in part done because there was a whole program, a utopian program to end all pandemics by taking viruses in the wild, bringing them into the lab, making them more transmissible in order to triage which viruses we should like build vaccines for early. It's a crazy program. I mean, as I'm talking about it, I can see the look on your face. You're saying, oh my God, why would anyone do this, right? The argument was, well, there's trillions of viruses out there. We don't know which ones we have to prepare for. If we bring them in the lab and see how close they are to jumping into human populations by making them more transmissible, we can prioritize. And they make vaccines or whatever it before. The problem is you can cause a lab leak and that can cause a global pandemic in the process of doing this. And the second is the countermeasures you make, the vaccines or whatever, you're testing on viruses that have never been, never infected a human. So you can't test if the vaccine works that you made. So you pretend to have a countermeasure. You know, and evolution is hard to predict, so you don't know what the viruses actually are going to make the leap or what they'll look like when they do. It was a foolish program for pretending to prevent all pandemics, be ready for all pandemics. And in the process of doing so, we may have actually caused one. It's the single biggest example of scientific hubris. It's like the Frankenstein monster, except come to life.
That's saying something about scientific hubris. Dr. J, I am happy you were there, my friend. Please come back soon. All right. We have to go to England. I know the food sucks, but Connor Tomlinson's going to tell us what's going on over there. Before we go talk to Connor, I want to talk to you about talking to Americans. Is there anything worse than having to call customer service now? Didn't used to be that bad, right? You used to be able to talk to somebody and they could understand you and you could understand them. And now it's, let me grab my bongos. It's horrible, freaking horrible. Not with PureTalk. When you drop Verizon, AT&T, or T-Mobile and switch to PureTalk, they hire Americans. PureTalk is so patriotic, run by a Vietnam veteran. They hire U.S.-based Americans, and they're nice. You can actually hear them smiling on the other end as they help you. It's easy to switch. It takes 10 minutes. You'll save a fortune. They're on the exact same towers, so you don't have to stress about dropping calls. Patronize the American company. PureTalk.com/JesseTV. We'll be back.
We don't say that Islam is here to live, you know, to coexist with lots of different religions and all of us can just hold hands and be friends. This religion has been sent to dominate, to wipe out, to take out every other religion, to have the people leave every religion and to accept Islam. And if that requires fighting to achieve it, then it requires fighting to achieve it. Because the greatest purpose for which jihad was legislated is to make the word of Allah the highest and the word of those who disbelieve the lowest, even if the disbelievers hate it. But we're not shy to say it, and we don't find that to be something that we should be shy to say.
Well, I gotta applaud the honesty. Come right out and say it. Joining me now, Connor Tomlinson, host of Tomlinson Talks on YouTube, Substack. Hey, Connor. We're going through it here in America, Dearborn, Michigan, New York City. You're swimming in it over there in the UK. And honestly, some of them will come right out and say it. I almost admire it.
Well, it's always better that you have the devil you know and the devil you don't, Jesse. And the devil you know also includes our king and our prime minister. Keir Starmer recently hosted an iftar event in the Palace of Westminster. Reminder, Britain is not just a constitutionally Christian country, but we have bishops and House of Lords in an established church, not that the church itself actually knows it. He hosted a Muslim event, and he told Muslims that they are the face of modern Britain. And, of course, King Charles used his Christmas message to glaze Muslim communities in Britain. So, as much as you say we're swimming in it, actually, the Muslim population of Britain is about 10%. Now, that's 10% too high, in my liking, something saying which, even on your show, Jesse, could actually land me in prison in my country. But these communities are situated in little colonies, enclaves, in certain towns like Luton, London, Leicester, Bradford, and Birmingham. They're not entirely across the country, even though that is the ambition of the current government. What instead they get is special accommodations and overtures made to them by our institutions, the BBC, Parliament, the civil service, and even the Crown. And when one MP in the last week or so, Nick Timothy of the failed Conservative Party actually had the bravery to speak up and say that a public prayer event that a bunch of Muslims are putting on for Ramadan in Trafalgar Square, right in the heart of London, was an act of domination, much like they were praying outside Downing Street following the October the 7th attacks in 2023, sort of telegraphing their intent to repeat that on white Christian Brits. All of Parliament descended and condemned him. And so when you point out that one religion wants to dominate our country, well, you're accused of being a racist, a fascist, and an Islamophobe. The Labour government have even appointed a new Islamophobia czar to police online and offline speech that incites hatred of Muslims or actually fails to actively promote Muslims in public and economic life, basically failing to comply with DEI. But when Muslims themselves say it, then, you know, it's just diversity is a sign of our strength, I suppose.
Good God. Okay, Connor, can you walk me through your church? You mentioned your church, and this is something many of us lament here in America. We do have some churches very solid, speaking up, speaking out, and others who are very clearly now aiding the enemy. The Church of England is so old. How are they holding up?
Pretty poorly, Jesse. Anglicans are now outnumbered 2-1 by Catholics under the age of 30, and that's driven actually quite largely by Catholic converts of white, young, male British persuasion, me included. My priest actually joked that I'm the marketing arm for the Catholic Church to under-30s men, so, you know, it's quite the burden on my shoulders. But the Anglican Church has just appointed the new Archbishop of Canterbury, the first woman, who decided to go on an uncharacteristic walking tour, a pilgrimage from London to Canterbury, at the exact same time that the House of Lords in my country were voting on a crucial amendment as to whether or not abortion would be decriminalised up to birth. You, of course, have this in multiple states now, thanks to Hillary Clinton back in 2018. I think it was in New York, if I remember, when the 9/11 monument was lit up pink like something out of Brave New World. Well, now in Britain, a woman can at any time for any reason kill her unborn child and face no consequences. And that's because the Archbishop of Canterbury was not present. And a bunch of conservative lords voted alongside side, the Labour and Liberal Democrat lords, the arch progressives in our country, to ensure that that was pushed through. The previous Archbishop of Canterbury, by the way, had to step down because of an institutional sex abuse scandal in the church, and he, yet again, spent more time talking about Ramadan than he did about Easter and Christmas. And the Archbishop before that was a member of an organisation called Searchlight, an anti-fascist magazine run by a deceased communist burglar connected to lying communist organisation Hope Not Hate, who, it recently turns out, had employed a convicted paedophile to represent them at government hearings to shape the online safety bill, which was meant to protect children from pornography online, how ironic, but instead ended up censoring free speech on X and has even put an age verification gate on my Substack, Jesse. So, in short, the Anglican Church is probably going to be disbanded at some point, and the Green Party, which is now the Islamic Party, they're less Greta Thunberg than they are Al-Qaeda these days, they're now the second most likely party to take government at the next election, and they have put in their manifesto to abolish the Anglican Church outright. And lots of people would be hard-pressed to say at this point they've brought it on themselves.
Good God. Okay, you mentioned that Islam is now... excuse me, 10% of the UK. Is there an appetite for mass deportations?
Absolutely, Jesse. And I say 10%, by the way, because it was 7% in 2021. That was before the Boris wave of over 1.2 million immigrants from the third world every single year into a country the size of New York State after Brexit, which people voted for to reduce migration, and we were betrayed with more Indians, Afghans, Pakistanis, and Nigerians every year instead. And now, every single party that is pretending to at least be on the right is outcompeting one another to see who is most credible to perform mass deportations. The Conservatives, Reform UK, and the new Restore Britain party have all promised this, but I think the only party that's credible to do this is Rupert Lowe's Restore Britain. Some people will have heard of Rupert Lowe from his interview with Tucker Carlson a few months ago. Rupert Lowe used to be a Reform MP until he was kicked out of the party by Nigel Farage's right-hand man, a guy called Mohammed Zia Yusuf, who is himself a Muslim, because Rupert Lowe said he wanted to deport not just the perpetrators of the infamous Pakistani Muslim rape gangs, who have raped, tortured, trafficked overseas, and even murdered hundreds of thousands of white working class girls in our country. But he said, we should deport the family members who knew about the rapes and covered it up. And we know, because of testimonies going back decades, that this is entire communities that knew about this crime and actively hid it from the authorities. Mohammed Zia Yusuf and Reform UK and Nigel Farage reported Rupert Lowe to the police, had his home raided, had his shotguns taken because he's a farmer, because Nigel Farage, yes, Mr. Brexit himself, said that deporting those rape gangs and their perpetrators and the collaborators was beyond the bounds of decency and morality. Nigel Farage has only adopted mass deportations after President Trump himself, and I have confirmed this, was told that Nigel Farage did not want to back mass deportations, and Trump relayed to Farage he thought that he wasn't the guy. Now, Nigel Farage is promising mass deportations, while other members of Reform are going around and saying, that's too extreme, just this week. The Conservatives have no credibility, they let all these migrants in. Reform have no credibility, they don't want to restrict passports, they don't want to do mass deportations, even though they've been dragged kicking and screaming to supporting it. Whereas today, Restore Britain have said, we're not only just going to do mass deportations, we are going to ensure that millions of legal migrants leave, and we are going to ban migration, legal migration, from India and Pakistan. Now, I know this is something that lots of Trump's supporters want for America. Rupert Lowe wants to do it for Britain.
Praying for you guys, Connor. Go get them, man. Take the country back. Appreciate it. All right. Light in the moon. Next. All right, it's time to lighten the mood. And there's something that I have always enjoyed, and I'm not totally sure why. I think I know why, but I'm talking about me here. In my town. In fact, I've lived in multiple towns like this, but in my town's growing. It's Red America, it's safe. It's the kind of place people want to move, especially people who have kids, good schools, church on every corner, that kind of thing. And so they're building things. Obviously, there's everywhere you look, there's a new commercial building, there's a new subdivision, there's every it seems like every square inch, someone's building something on it. And I like that, right? I like progress, build houses, restaurants, it's all fine for me. But there are these holdouts in my hometown. There'll just be some house. Looks totally out of place now. It's got stuff surrounding it, He's got a pasture out back with a few horses on it. And you know, I've never talked to the guy. You know, somebody has knocked on his door and offered him a huge sum of money. Hey, just sell us your house, sell us your land. Let us put a, you know, a McDonald's and an apartment complex on there. And I just pictured it in my mind, and he's all, no, I like it here. This is my place. You can build all around me. I'm not selling. I don't know why I've always liked that. I saw this story because these AI data farms, these data centers, they're all the rage now, and they're going to be the rage. And it's big money, big, big money. And I saw this story out of Kentucky, and it made me smile.
If it's my way, I'll stay and hold and feed a nation. $26 million doesn't mean anything.
Some people might find it hard to understand how Delcia Bear can turn away a $26 million offer to buy some of her land until you spend a little time with her walking the dirt road she grew up on and in the house her daddy built.
My grandfather and great-grandfather and a whole bunch of family has all lived here for years, paid taxes on it, fed a nation off of it, even raised wheat through the Depression and kept bread lines up in the United States of America when people didn't have anything else.
Delcia is one of dozens of landowners approached by an anonymous buyer, one of the major players in artificial intelligence, likely Google or Meta or Amazon, to purchase their land. The market value for land in Mason County is about $6,000 an acre. The realtor that came to her door last April offered her and her mother about 10 times that.
As long as I'm on this land, as long as it's feeding me, as long as it's taking care of me, there's nothing can destroy me if I've got this land.
I like it. I just do. I see them all.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.